about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. What does it mean to be certain of a belief that you have?
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, belief systems.
Turns out there are two dimensions to this kind of certainty. One dimension is clarity. Do I know what I believe or not? Because there are times where you're not really sure what you believe.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what do you believe about, you know, some issue? And you're like, I don't know. And then there are other times where you're definitely clear. This is my belief. And then the second dimension is correctness. How much do I believe that my belief is the right one to have? So there are times where I have beliefs and I think, you know, other right-thinking people might believe differently. But there are other times, and those of you who know me know this is true, there are times where, you know, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
Right? And so those two dimensions are actually really important because they affect your interactions with other people in very different ways.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that we rely on as a belief, actually, is that what we believe is more or less based on the information that we have. And so if we have a desire to change someone's belief, we think, well, the solution to that is to provide them with more information. Because clearly, if you have a different belief than I do, there's only one explanation for that, is that I know about things that you don't know about or vice versa. And so once we all know about the same things, we will adopt the same beliefs. Not at all the case, right? And in fact, the study that came out last week is about climate science, right? And people had various beliefs, and they thought how susceptible they were to entertaining a belief other than the one that they held, right? And actually, the more information people had, even when their belief was wrong, when you gave them more information that contradicted their belief, they felt their belief more strongly. You know, what people are really arguing about is not the thing itself that they think they're arguing about. They're arguing about what they will accept as evidence for the thing that they're arguing about, right?
In part, because when you hear about a piece of evidence that contradicts what you believe, part of what you end up doing is thinking about all the reasons why that particular piece of evidence isn't a good piece of evidence.
Right.
It ends up reinforcing your previously held belief.
And oddly, and paradoxically, I think, you know, when we're confronted with these things, the fact that we can find ways of undermining the credibility of contravening evidence makes us that much more secure in our position.
Yeah. And so when you have a high degree of belief in the correctness of your beliefs, then you argue it to death.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, so if you think I'm right in some cosmic sense, then you're just finding any way you can to convince other people who hold a different belief that they are wrong. When you're very clear about your own belief, though, particularly if you're clear about it without necessarily thinking your belief is right, that actually provides an opportunity for real conversation. Mm-hmm. Because you understand what you believe, but you may actually be open to the possibility that there are other ways to think about things. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's really fascinating is some of the cultural work that's been done. So the United States and Western Europe, we tend to be very individualist societies. And one of the characteristics that comes along with this individualism is a tendency to seize one horn or the other of a dilemma. But there are alternatives. That is not a human universal. And in particular, in more collectivist cultures, like what you see in East Asia, for example, the spirit of compromise is actually ingrained in these collectivist cultures, because if two people disagree and yet feel like they are woven from the same cloth, you have to find a way of resolving what appears to be an insurmountable disagreement.
Yeah.
And so in that culture, it promotes trying to find a way in which both sides of an argument, as seemingly different as they might be, might actually be compatible.
And, you know, that's all exacerbated by the fact that we tend not to like the feeling of ambiguity. It feels good to decide, right? Yeah. What doesn't feel good is not deciding. I mean, having to say, I'm going to hold that decision in abeyance until I'm actually required to make a decision and take some action. But I don't have enough information yet to decide that. That's a difficult thing to learn because there are all kinds of advantages that have a long evolutionary history of coming to closure fast.
Right. But one of the issues about this closure is the closure alone isn't necessarily dangerous. But the danger is when you're not willing to change your mind.
Right.
You stick to something and you try to create facts in the image of the belief you have, rejecting those facts that are not compatible with it, undermining the authority of the people who say things that you don't agree with. That's where you can really run into a problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think coming to an understanding of ourselves, as well as a way of interacting with other people, I think is facilitated by first deciding what are the things that we believe that are beliefs based on evidence, and what are the things that we believe that we choose to believe them, but our decision to believe them is not based on evidence, right? Because the thing is, where conflict often occurs is you have people who have chosen a belief that's not an evidentiary belief, and then somebody tries to give them evidence about why they shouldn't believe that. Well, that's not why I believe that.
Right. You know, it isn't
based on evidence. So there's no basis for a discussion about, well, look at this and look at these data and look at that, because that's not my reason for believing that. That's not what underpins that belief. But then again, there are other things for which evidence actually is available. And now you have a different set of criteria for holding a discussion, because now there are things that we can look to and say, well, if this belief is true, then we would expect to see this in the data. Well, now that's a whole different discussion than discussing a belief where this isn't based on data at all.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about greed with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes and iTunes U, and follow us on Twitter at @2GOYH. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.